Thank you for coming to the site. Let's continue with our study. We're looking at the Arminian view of universal redemption or general atonement. It's the idea that the Arminians have. Jacob Arminius came up with this idea that Christ's redeeming work made it possible for everyone to be saved, but did not actually secure the salvation of anyone. Now think about that. Think about that. His redeeming work made it possible for everyone to be saved, but he did not actually secure the salvation of anyone. They would teach that although Christ died for all men and for every man, that only those who believe on him are saved. Now this death that they're talking about, that his death enabled God to pardon sinners on the condition that they believe, meaning that if the sinner merely believes, says, I believe, that they are saved. The Arminian would also teach that it did not actually put away anyone's sin. You see, their sin is not put away. It didn't actually put it away, and that Christ's redemption becomes effective only if man chooses to accept it. Now, that's what the universal redemption or general atonement is. Basically, that everybody in the whole planet can be saved. Now, the Calvinists believe in particular redemption or limited atonement. As I said in clip number 2, I was going to spend a little time and share with you why I don't accept universal redemption or general atonement. This, well, I believe, so I'm saved. Now, what you have to understand is that the Arminian doesn't believe that God has anything to do with it. God hasn't chosen the individual. Now, particular redemption or limited atonement in Calvinism teaches that Christ's redeeming work was intended to save the elect only. The elect only. That's the key. Now let's go back to the Arminian view. Christ's redeeming work made it possible for everyone to be saved. In other words, since Christ died on the cross, everyone on the planet at any time, all they'd have to say is, I believe in Jesus, and they can be saved. That's why our churches are full of sinners. And that's why the Rick Warren movement, the church growth movement, and all this, you know, you just make that confession of faith. You just say, hey, listen, I've said in my heart, I've believed in my heart, deep down in my heart, so I'm saved. No. Particular redemption or limited atonement teaches that Christ's redeeming work on Calvary when he died on the cross was intended to save the elect only and actually secured salvation for them. Now, I know that this is very offensive to the Arminian because, you know, they're coming up with their arguments. No, what do you mean he only died for them? Well, let me continue to give you more of the Calvinistic approach. His death was a substitutionary endurance of the penalty of sin in the place of certain specified sinners. See? And this is why I'm not toying with, well, could a Christian do this? Could a Christian really do that? I don't toy with that anymore. The answer is, no, a real Christian could not do that. Don't get me wrong. Let me give you an example. I'm a Christian. Christ's love is in my heart. So I love everybody. Are there a group of individuals that I, as a Christian, cannot love and therefore treat poorly, badly, scandalize their name, destroy their lives, allow the jealousy of me wanting their ministry and their life, and I'm going to destroy them in order to take it and then justify myself and talk about God? No, God does not call people like that. God does not save people like that. Those people are not the elect. Those are lying dogs. Now, that's what made me become a full 5-point Calvinist, because I was looking at this universal redemption. Let me jump back to to the Arminian. Christ's redeeming work made it possible for everyone to be saved, but did not actually secure the salvation of anyone. Although Christ died for all men and for every man, only those who believe on him are saved. His death enabled God to pardon sinners on the condition that they believe. I believe, brother. I believe. So I'm saved, right? Not necessarily. But it did not actually put away anyone's sins. That means that they could sin, treat you wrong, hate other folk, backslide, do some grievous things that a true Christian would never do, and then pop up and claim the Channel 40, I'm saved, and say the stupid prayer, and they're saved. That is not biblical Christianity. Now let me go back to the Calvinistic view. In addition to putting away the sins of his people, see, this is particular redemption or limited atonement. See, God puts away the sin of his people. Christ's redemption secured everything necessary for their salvation, including faith, which unites them to him. I have faith to know that I am saved in Jesus Christ. The gift of faith is infallibly applied by the Spirit to all whom Christ died. That's me. Not to people that's out there hating folk, killing folk, and doing all that kind of stuff, scandalizing, still in ministry, lying, and doing all that. Therefore, guaranteeing my salvation. That's why when a person says to me, John, if you did this, then you're not saved. I said, no. If I did that, and I continuously do that, and I repeatedly do that, then I am not saved. But if I have fallen in an area away from Christ, and Christ through his divine Holy Spirit has revealed that to me, I am obligated to go to the person that I have sinned against and ask their forgiveness and to admit that I was wrong. Let me give you an example. Many times that ministry has been ripped off from me. Did you know that none of these people that have done that has ever come and told me that they were sorry and that they have repented for their debauchery? It is because they have never repented from it because they are not saved. They may go to church. They may quote the Bible. They are not saved. You cannot treat anybody wrong and not go to that person and tell them that you were wrong for what you did to them and how you treated them wrong. That is the way saved people act. So, Christ's death on Calvary was for a particular few individuals. He didn't come and die for everybody on this planet. Now, I want to make this perfectly clear. It is efficacious to save everyone on the planet, but there has to be the call of God in that individual's life. That individual cannot even exercise faith in Christ unless God enables them to do that. And that based upon, as we've already discussed, an unconditional election, and also based upon the person's total inability because they are totally depraved. Now let's review points 1 through 3 thus far. The T-U-L on the tulip. Total inability. Because of the fall, man is unable of himself to savingly believe the gospel. The sinner is dead. He's blind. He's deaf to the things of God. His heart is deceitful and desperately corrupt. His will is not free. He is in bondage to his evil nature. Therefore, he will not, indeed cannot, choose good over evil in the spiritual realm. Consequently, it takes much more than the Spirit's assistance to bring the sinner to Christ. It takes regeneration. In other words, he has to be born again by the Spirit. That is what makes the sinner alive and gives him a new nature. Faith is not something that man contributes to salvation, as the Arminian would say, that all he has to say is, I believe. Then there's unconditional election. God's choice of these certain individuals, and not all of them, okay, unto salvation. Therefore, the foundation of the world rested solely in his own sovereign will, and his choice of particular sinners was not based upon any foreseen response. And let me say this, based upon unconditional election, God does not have to love all of his creation. See, because we have this idea, well, God loves all of his creation, doesn't he? I'm going to tell you, man, some people are destined, I mean, born to go to hell. I don't question why God does that. I just admit to the fact that they are. There are certain individuals that I know, you know, the controversy that's out today, you know, is a homosexual controversy and these people marrying each other, deemed, doomed, and damned to go to hell. Now, I don't have any feelings about it one way or the other. That's the way it's going to be because they reject God's divine principles. So, election, therefore, was not determined or conditioned upon any virtuous quality or any act foreseen in men. Those whom God sovereignly elected, he brings them through the power of the Holy Spirit to willing acceptance of what God says in his word. Thus, God's choice of the sinner, not the sinner's choice of Christ, is the ultimate cause of his salvation, unconditional election. Now, when it comes to particular redemption or limited atonement, Christ's redeeming work was intended to save the elect only and actually secured salvation for them only. His death was substitutionary endurance of the penalty of sin in the place of certain specified sinners, of whom I am one of them. If you are saved truly, you are one of them. In addition to putting away the sins of his people, which you and I are, if you are saved at all, and agree with what I'm saying, Christ's redemption secured everything necessary for our salvation. There's nothing that you could do. There's absolutely nothing that I could do that could secure that, including faith, which unites us to Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, and God, and our lives exemplify all of that. The gift of faith is infallibly applied by the Holy Spirit to all of us whom Christ died, therefore guaranteeing our salvation. Not guaranteeing some lying heathen salvation because they just walk in church and say, I believe, when the pastor asks them to raise their hand. Into the Word Ministries, the biblical alternative, that is. And when I continue next time, it'll be the fourth point of Arminianism, which is the Holy Spirit can be effectually resisted, meaning that a Christian can resist God's moving in his heart. Can you believe that? Or the teaching of Calvin that the effectuous call of the Spirit cannot be resisted, which is called irresistible grace. I cannot resist him. I had to respond to God's call. Let me put it this way. Next time I talk, it'll be like this. Well, God was speaking to my heart, but I flat out rejected him and went another way. And I told him, take a rain check. Join me next time.